Monday. Open wide dev fans.
Get ready
to stuff your face with JavaScript,
CSS,
node module,
barbecue tips,
Git workflows,
breakdancing,
soft skills,
web development,
the hastiest,
the craziest,
the tastiest
web development treats.
Coming in hot,
here is Wes
Barracuda
Boss
and Scott
El Toro Loco
Tolinsky.
Welcome to Syntax on this Monday Hasty Treat. We're going to be talking about time. Where does time come from? When you say new date in your browser, what the heck's that doing? And what are some of the pitfalls of working with time? What are some formats? What are some things about temporal time zones? That sort of stuff. This is going to be a little bit of a conversation about time. But before we get into that, this is episode number 720. Let me just take a quick moment to give a really, really sincere thank you to Chris Enns for doing such an amazing job editing our podcast for so long. We have brought editing in-house. In fact, we have a new producer, Randy Rector, who will bring onto the show at some point here so that he can say hi to you, everyone. But because of that, it meant having to say goodbye to our longtime editor, Chris. And, you may have heard us say, Chris, cut that out or anything like that. And he's just been an incredible force on this team, delivering this podcast day after day for everybody and doing just such an amazing job. You know, this podcast wouldn't be the same without Chris, and it wouldn't have gotten here without Chris. So I want to give just a sincere thank you to Chris and all of his hard work. And give him an opportunity here to insert something if he would like.
Hey, Chris Enns here. Thanks to Scott and Wes for the opportunity to work on Syntax. I think I took over editing somewhere around episode 400, and I'll pass the editing scissors, as it were, onto the very capable hands of Randy. It's been a lot of fun to be welcomed by the Syntax community and by all of you great developer nerds, even though most of my web dev knowledge died alongside Front Page 98. Like Scott said, if you've got questions about starting or editing a podcast, hit me up at lemonproductions.ca on the web, iChris on Twitter, or at Lemon Podcasting on YouTube. As usual, I'll be sure to put all the links in the show notes. Enjoy the rest of the show.
Definitely check out Chris, his lemonproductions.ca, of course. I was actually really happy. Chris is a Canadian. New editor Randy, also Canadian. It's a Canadian podcast, so very happy about that. I'm just going to start referring to this as a Canadian podcast. Is that okay, Scott?
I have Canadian blood. It's fine.
Yeah.
My grandparents came from Montreal, so hey.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, if you're looking to start a podcast, check out Chris, lemonproductions.ca. Appreciate all your work. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, I'm going to say this. If you know anybody who's starting a podcast, you know, you hear the word podcast, just throw Chris's website around, lemonproductions.ca. He's just a fantastic guy and has done a great job for us. So thank you, Chris. And we are going to miss you here on Syntax. So with that said,
time
passes. We get a new editor for the podcast, and we get new JavaScript APIs to deal with time. Time passes, and that's where we're at today. What is time, and how do we deal with time? We're not going to be talking about space-time here or anything like that, but more or less time in the browser.
This kind of tripped me out when you posted about, like, you had something in the browser where you were getting
bizarre
a date
situation.
From 2022? Like a two-year-old timestamp. And then what happened? You rebooted your computer or restarted?
This is actually very funny. And a small aside, it says in the show notes, Scott, tell your story. There's a podcast I listen to that's like an Australian couple. It's just two comedians. And the one, they just got married. The one, she does this thing to her husband where she'll say, Tom, can you tell your story? Whenever they're in a group setting, like, and just as like a prank, because he doesn't have a story prepared, like, what kind of story do you want me to tell? So when you said, Scott, can you tell your story? I got that same vibe. But my story was, I was doing some date stuff, and I was loading up a date server-side and client-side. It was in an SSR component. So that code is the same code. It's running client-side, it's running server-side. So that very clearly eliminates the situation wherein might I have the timestamp in my code incorrectly. I'm just running a new date. And for some stupid reason, the one on the server side, not the client side, Wes, the server side was returning, in the server, it's my own internal process. The server side was returning a date that was one day off and one year off. And my client, the browser, was returning the correct date. And I said,
a whole year.
Okay, I'm going to lose my mind. What? This is the same function being run on the client and the server, and the date is off by a day and a year. What in the world could be going on? I restarted my computer, and it fixed. I cannot explain it. If you know, if this was Unsolved Mysteries, you could cue up some spooky music. It's the spookiest thing that's ever happened to me on my computer. And like working with daytime is spooky enough already. So honestly, who knows? I've no answer to what happened there, but it was
that
obnoxious.
Is so bizarre. So you told me that story and I just started like almost tripping out, being like, where does time come from? You know,
I was tripping out too.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Your browser knows the time, but like, where's your browser get it from? Your browser gets it from your computer. Where's your computer get the time? Well, maybe there's like a chip on the motherboard. Okay. Well, Or maybe it gets it from, we'll talk about where time comes from in a second, but I was just like, whoa, like time is just this thing we made up and who keeps track of time? You
Wait
know?
Till you learn that it's connected to space itself. That's going to trip you out even more. Yeah.
So let's talk about that. At the very, very lowest level, there are things called atomic clocks and many servers, people that have server infrastructure, many trading places will have atomic clocks right in their data center. And if you look it up, they're pretty crazy. And Jeff Bezos just made a $40 million, 10,000-year atomic clock. And
wow,
if you look at it, it's a bunch of like gears that spin. And apparently that's the most accurate way to keep track of time. Like if you were to say like, hey, how could you keep track of time as accurate as possible? I would not tell you, let's get 80 gears and just put them together and that will, but like, I guess that's how clocks work, but that would not be my first guess. and
this
how
is a trippy
that gets,
episode.
How that gets converted to actual like digital time. I'm not sure how that works. That's the same thing with, randomness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cloudflare needs randomness for their SSL certificates. And randomness built into computer chips is somewhat random, but it can be figured out how random something will be. So they have these like lava lamps, this whole wall of lava lamps, and they have a camera on them. And based on where the blobs are in these lava lamps, they correspond to how random things are. So like that's more random than a computer chip.
Yeah. And I'm going to link up to, they have a blog post explaining that. And it's one of the coolest things. It's one of the, when I learned that they did that, I was just like, hell yeah, that's awesome.
So atomic clocks. Now we have network time. So for most devices that are connected to the internet, if you need to get the current time, there's these things called, or there's a protocol, NTP, Network Time Protocol. And it's a protocol that where basically there are a number of servers out there. There's different levels of them. There's like one level, which is the atomic clock. And then the time gets dispersed to 10 other different servers out there. And then that gets dispersed to a different number of them. And basically you can ping any of these NTP protocols and it will always return to you the correct time that is based off of one of those atomic clocks. So that's how most of your computers, that's why like we have a head unit in our car and every now and then there's a battery in it, but if you don't drive it for a while, the battery goes dead and it boots up again and the time is wrong. And then after a second, it connects to the Wi-Fi and the network time updates, right? And it's pinging one of those. There might be something with the Wi-Fi router where it gets it from that. I'm not totally sure, but that's in my mind, that's where it gets most of it. What else? Your device time. If you're not connected to the internet, that's another thing I was trippy. It's like, where does that come from? The little battery on your computer, you know, back in the day, I guess they still have this, but if you open up a motherboard of a computer, there's a little CR2032 battery and that keeps time on your motherboard. while your computer is disconnected or not. So every now and then that battery will die or you have to replace it. So you have to reset the actual time on your motherboard, which is wild.
Yeah, that is wild. Man, little batteries like that, they do all sorts of weird stuff. Did you know, back in old school Nintendo games, did you know that games that were able to like persist save files because they didn't have storage on them, that was done via a little battery within the game cartridge?
Because if you crack open, I don't know if this is still the case, but the Game Boy games back in the day, or was it the NES games? Yeah, you crack it open.
Is the NES game?
There's a little battery in it. And often if you buy something.
But only the ones that saved.
If you buy like an old computer, or like I follow this TikTok account where this guy bought a video vending machine that wouldn't boot up. And it was just a little coin cell battery on the motherboard. That was the case. That's a lot of electronics going awry is either A, a 10-cent fuse that is you don't know that there's a fuse in it, or B, a little coin cell battery that has died that you don't know exists either.
Wes is the kind of guy you want to get that info from. He's always fixing who knows what.
but why is time important, Scott?
Well, you know, so many of the things that we use on a day-to-day basis operate on the fact that we're all working from the same understanding of what time it is currently. SSL certificates, they require the correct time. Mm-hmm. Logging and saving data. If you have a log or errors and exceptions, right? You have Sentry.io. That tells you when something happened. When something happened is very important if you're trying to fix it. If it happened last week or last year, it might not be relevant. You may have already fixed this problem. Not relevant, right? So time is extremely important in programming in general to be able to fix the things that are broken or to understand what's going on, when and where. You know, it's the difference between something happening at 1 second versus the very next second. And you know, even then you need to know like where your users are, time zones. One of the things that are really important in development is understanding time zones and how they work, how it relates to, you know, the epoch time of which we'll talk about, but also like, you know, what exactly the time zone differences is and how we can calculate that difference and how that matters based on where we are, essentially. Think about it this way. Your server lives in a location. You live in a location. Wes lives in a location. If I do new.date from where I am and my server does new.date and Wes does new.date, chances are those are all going to be different answers, despite the fact that we're all talking about the exact same time here.
And it gets even worse with serverless or edge compute, where it's rendering somewhere close to you, but you may be expecting it to run on a specific time. And I even had a weird issue a couple of years ago, back when I used to just have a DigitalOcean box. Something with the time got goofed up, and all of my stats were like 3 hours off. And I'm pretty sure it was because the actual box I was running on was moved from one location to another.
One interesting thing to note here about time, I don't know if you've ever pirated Adobe software.
Nope.
In your days. I haven't either.
Okay. I've heard of people who have done it though.
I've heard. And I also heard that when that had been done, sometimes you needed to change the date on your computer so that Adobe's checks would check.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they wouldn't check to see. So that was the strategy that I heard you could do, was to change the year in which your computer was set at to install the software. This you know, this is something I think people did, you know, like 10 years ago or so, but it was an interesting strategy.
That was before SSL certificates became very commonplace, because you do that now. You change the date on your computer, or like I booted up an old MacBook yesterday and I haven't booted it on for probably 2 years. And it was dead. Sometimes the time is off. I didn't check this one, but it's happened in the past. And it's got to hit the time servers to keep going.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about epoch time really quick. And epoch time is the number of seconds that have elapsed since January 1st, 1970. Now, epoch time is a really useful way to store time because it's just a number. It's an integer. And that can be really nice because when you're dealing with JavaScript dates, a new date in JavaScript is not a value, right? It's a whole lot of stuff. And, you know, if you're wanting to save a date to a database and have it be accessed somewhere else later, it makes a whole lot of sense to convert it to the epoch time, which, again, the number of seconds elapsed since January 1st, 1970. Now, what's interesting here is I didn't know about this being an issue in computer science. We got a bit of a Y2K situation going on here. They call it the 2038 problem. And it's not something that you have to worry about within JavaScript. So this is just an interesting little tidbit. At some points, the epoch time was represented as a 32-bit integer. And if your epoch time storing was a 32-bit integer, it will overflow on January 19th, 2038, causing your epoch times to all break. And since then, many systems have become 64-bit integers to define epoch time. That is a little bit of a Y2K problem that I've never heard about before until recently.
That is crazy. So JavaScript has been updated for that, has it?
Let's see. JavaScript numbers, including those representing epoch time, are stored as 16-bit floating point numbers. This allows, yes. So JavaScript is fine.
I'm going to try it right now. So const date is equal to new date, January 22nd, 2038, dot get time. Yeah, it works fine. So the browsers have been updated for this Y2K bug. but if you're saving time in databases, this might be a bit of an issue for you in, what, 14 years from now? So get ready.
Something to put in your calendar for 14 years from now. Hey, yeah. To do.
Although, like, the older I get, the faster time goes. So I think it's going to come up on us real quick.
The older I get, the faster time goes, for sure. Absolutely. That's the thing. what do you know about ISO 8601? Does that mean anything to you, Wes?
ISO 8061 is my favorite standard of all time. No, I'm not sure. Like that's a standard for specifying what time is, right?
Yes, and it's issued by the International Organization for Standardization. Okay, the ISO. That's what the ISO is, and it's basically the way in which it's like a standardized way to format a date. It's year hyphen month hyphen day colon hour colon mm. colon SS, and then you can do some time zone stuff in there too. So
yeah, you can add, like, by default Z is UTC, and then you can, instead of just putting Z on the end, you can do plus or minus, like plus,
yes,
5 would be Eastern.
That sounds like no fun. But like, if you ever see, like, let's say you're choosing to output a date somehow on a, for whatever reason, and you're trying to decide, hey, I want to store this date as a string. What should I store it as? It makes a lot of sense to store it as ISO 8601 because that's easy to work with and just about everything understands it, right? You can pass it into a new date function. However, be aware, if you pass it into a new date function, it does take time zones into account. For instance, I ran new date 2024-03-01. Into my console this morning, and it output February 29th, 2024. So that is part of the joy of working in this stuff. If you want to just say, hey, give me a date, and then now turn it into a JavaScript date, you've got to understand what exactly you're asking for. Because when you do new date on anything, the very first thing it does, well, maybe not the very first thing, but what it does to your date is it always goes to the time zone in which the system is running on. So that is a concern anytime you're passing in these numbers, right? Because the ISO 8601, and if you just pass in a date without a time zone, it assumes UTC here, which is attached to no time zone.
So we also have a new standard, which is the, I don't know what the name is, the RFC 33339. It's another proposal for these timestamps, but it adds two things. It adds time zone names. So right now we just have plus the offset of UTC, right?
Yeah, the offset. That's like obnoxious. Yeah.
Plus 5 is Eastern. But our editor, Chris, will tell you He lives in Saskatchewan and they don't have daylight savings time. And it's so bizarre because my wife's family lives in Saskatchewan and you have to like do the mental math of, oh, they're 1 hour off of us for half the year and they're 2 hours off the other half of the year. So now you'll be able to do just square bracket Asia/Tokyo or I'm not sure what the Toronto time zone stamp is, but there's a whole list of standards in there. And then you can also specify which calendar is being used as well, which is kind of wild.
Yeah. And daylight savings time is, you know, something that is changing. You know, Arizona had no daylight savings time. Let's see. Colorado is moving to no daylight savings time. I don't know if everybody is or what, but yeah, it's about to get funky.
Do you know how many time zones there are in the world, Scott?
24?
No, actually. So when I launch a course, I message my entire Slack room and it does a little, hey, heads up, you're messaging 50,000 people in and it says 27 time zones. And that's because like there's somewhere in Canada, I think it's like St. John's or something, where they're half an hour off. Randy, our producer, is nodding away. Another Canadian podcast. Good. Apparently, there is 38 time zones in the world because some of them are off 30 to 45 minutes.
Huh.
Isn't that crazy?
I did not know that that existed. That is great. That's a lot of fun because all this stuff is so much fun when you're working in JavaScript.
Time zones are the most painful thing to work with in programming.
You know what? When I say give me a date, I just want a date. I don't necessarily want a time all the time. I don't always want a time zone. I just want the same date we're all talking about. We're all talking about the same date here.
Yeah.
It's March 1st, 1986. That's my birthday. We're all talking about that same date. I don't care what the time zone is in Denver for that date. But yeah, you know what is interesting here is something we've talked about quite a bit on the show is the temporal API. And we often say that the temporal API fixes the JavaScript date API. How exactly does it fix the JavaScript date API? And one of the big things that it does is it does make working with time zones more sane, but also makes working with just dates more sane. You don't necessarily have to worry about a date time all the way. So there's a plain year month, a plain month day, a plain date, okay? And then a plain time. Plain date, not included a time zone, but a instant does include a time zone, right? Or a zoned date time does include a time zone as well. And so that's one of the ways at least makes working with this stuff a little bit more sane, because one of the things that I've struggled with is, hey, when I save a date to the database, I don't necessarily always want it to be attached to a particular time zone.
Yeah.
So what do? You then got to take the step to turn everything to UTC. And then every time you access it, you got to make sure you access it with the UTC methods, which that is a bug waiting to happen, right?
Yeah.
So like, if you want to avoid any of that hassle, the temporal API will luckily be there to help us. It'll give us better parsing. Another thing that everybody hates about the JavaScript date API is the fact that anytime you do anything, it mutates the date, which is a giant pain, mutating the date. So this is going to give us immutable methods on the date APIs.
The plain date one is going to be super handy. So for an example, if I tell you my birthday is February 18, and you want to put that on your calendar, I might give you a UTC date stamp of the first second of February 18. But then you try to display that in a different time zone, it will tell you my birthday is on February 17 or February 19.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you might not. And those are the kind of bugs that you don't necessarily catch because it works on my machine, you know, especially once you're in browser land. That's very, very tricky.
You want to hear a further, and this is more of a conceptual problem with date, but also a problem nonetheless. I was working on at one point a booking app. It was a startup I worked at. It was a booking app, and it was kind of like, what if Instagram had booking, right? You could look at tattoos and then, oh, here, I want to book with this person because I've seen their portfolio, right? And one of the questions we had that we never got a good answer for because the company folded before we got the answer to this problem was if if I am traveling to Michigan and I want to book an appointment in Denver for noon Denver time, what's the default? What do you show them by default?
Yeah.
Do you show them the Denver time by default, or do you show them the Eastern time? Do you show them both times? And, you know, Cron, the calendar, has done a really nice job kind of solving this, where they'll put the columns. Since I work with a bunch of Eastern time folks, I have, it has two columns on my calendar where it shows the date typically, kind of like code row numbers in your code text editor. And so it'll show me 2 p.m., 4 p.m., 3 p.m., 5 p.m. So I can always see which one is which, and I can tell which one is my default one. That's nice. But in a, like a booking situation where you're just trying to list, here's the available appointments, it's 8 o'clock or whatever, you're going to have to confuse the heck out of the user trying to make them select the time zone and stuff like that.
I do not envy people that work on those types of things, those booking or the once when we flew to San Francisco, my like Google Calendar changed to San Francisco, but like it never changed back. So people kept booking me at like 6:30 at night for talks, and I'm just like, "Hey, like I'm gone, I'm not here." And they're like, "Oh, sorry, your calendar said you were in San Francisco, so you gotta watch those things."
Yep. Well, you know, that's really all we have to say about time. This has just been a little bit of time pontification hour, or 27 minutes here, and that's okay. I want to know what kind of crazy bugs you've hit with time. You know, specifically, I would love to get some of these for our spooky stories, but we're a long ways off from October. So honestly, I just want to hear what kind of situations people have hit with time, or the just the date API in general in JavaScript. What kind of major hiccups have you hit, and what kind of solutions did you find, or are you still looking for correct solutions? What types of things are you looking forward to in the temporal API? Hit us up at SyntaxFM on any of the socials, or even just reach out to us in our potluck form on the syntax.fm website. And we would love to read out some time stuff. Might be cool to do a follow-up in a potluck later on.
Beauty. All right, thanks for tuning in. Catch you later.
Peace.
Peace.
Head on over to syntax.fm for a full archive of all of our shows. And don't forget to subscribe in your podcast player or drop a review if you like this show.